Thank you, Erskine. Erskine, I'm sure you recall it, but it was either 1999 or 2000 when we did our first video for our long-range plans, and we were revealing capital campaign to build this worship center. And Erskine sang that, and we used that for the soundtrack to tell the story. And so, Erskine, you're getting old, brother. Well, I came back from a little vacation. One of our senior adults walked up and said, "I don't remember your name." So I went to the office and got my Sunday name tag that I wear. And it's in big, bold print. And then a man named Jim Price introduced himself to me back in the Welcome Center. And sometimes you hope for the deletion of your long-term memory, but it seemed like I did remember somebody as pesky as a South Georgia gnat named Jim Price. So that's still burned in my mind. Bless Donna's heart. Pray for her on every remembrance of her. Well, I want to tell you something good. I mean, God could do anything He wants to do. I hated that I was not able to be with Eric and Melissa when they came to work here in youth ministry, because it was gone for about 2 weeks. And yesterday I met with him for an hour and a half. KD is trying to help them find a home. And I said, "Well, tell me about your home in Denham Springs." And those of you who don't know, they were involved in that flood, and almost all the houses were underwater except for theirs and two others. Well, I want you to know there's a contract for the sale of their house, and if everything goes through, they will close at the end of this month. Now, are you ready for this? The people that offered the contract offered them $5,000 more than the listing price. I've never had but one thing that somebody wanted more than I did and gave me double what I was asking. But when God's in charge and He tells you it's time to move, you don't understand it, but God does. And He just takes care of business. Who would ever think something in the middle of a flood zone, of course it wasn't damaged, that they would be able to sell it that fast? So that made my whole week, just sitting there listening to Him say that. Well, tonight and the next 3 Wednesday nights, I just want to talk about a few of the names of our God. And I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We're also going to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And then I want you to just find Psalm 139 and keep your finger there, and we'll get there in just a few minutes. Names are so very, very important. Also, the voice inflection that is used when you call somebody's name is vital. If my dad ever said, "Philip Allen, get in here," that was not good news. If dad said, "Little man, how's it going?" That was a nickname for him. He was a little man. I knew everything was fine. And if he ever called me Filipino, and I don't know why he did that, I knew everything was cool with him then as well. Names are so very, very important. Well, in the ancient culture, the Middle Eastern culture, during biblical times, somebody's nature was attached to their names. The practice of entering into a covenant. When two people entered into a covenant with each other, they would seal that covenant sometimes by changing their names because their essence changed. That bled over into our culture. And when a bride and groom come forward, and then they pledge their love and their lives to each other, the wife normally takes on the husband's name. That is a sign of a covenant and a change in essence for the two of them. You remember when God would enter into a covenant with man, oftentimes there was a change of names. You remember Abram was named by God Abraham. And then we find Jacob. Jacob actually means deceiver. And so God changed his name to what? To Israel. It means a prince with God. His essence changed when he entered into a covenant with God. As important as names were to people during the biblical times, it was the name or the names of God which drew their greatest respect. I was playing golf on Saturday morning, And I heard a guy on another hole take God's name in vain with a shout. As I stand here before you tonight, I think how flippant we are with God's name. What a lack of reverence we often show for God's name. Old Testament times, when the scribes were copying the scriptures, when they had come to the name, one of the names for God, they would stop right there. They would fast, they would pray, and after they would fast, they would bathe and take out a brand new quill and write a symbol for God's name. Oftentimes they wouldn't write God's name. And then they'd take that new quill and throw it away and take up the old quill and continue to write. Think about this. They did that every time they wrote the name of God. They had such a reverence for His name. They believed that knowing God's name defined their relationship with God. And the more personal the name for God, the greater their intimacy with God. I'm just going to give you a lot of scriptures. You don't need to turn there tonight. Deuteronomy 6:4, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." Our God is so complex, so multifaceted, that no one name can adequately describe Him. Why is it important to study the names of God? Well, first of all, we're commanded to give honor to God. In Exodus 20, verse 3, 10 commandments, "You shall have no other God before you." Exodus 20, verse 7 says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name." We're given His names because we're to study them, because we're commanded to give honor to His name. Second, we become more knowledgeable about God by knowing His names. We think about Elohim that we're going to study tonight. Creator, that satisfies our need for a purpose. We think about Adonai, Master, my need for significance. Elyon or El Shaddai means Almighty God, my need for power. Jehovah and Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who is present and provides, that meets my immediate needs. And we just go on and on with His names that we find in Scripture. Now think about our position with God. We can run to Him and we can know an abundant life. Or we can choose to retreat from Him and draw away from Him. You can abuse God's name or use God's name to draw closer to God. We learn to trust Him more by knowing His name. Psalm 20, verse 7. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." That word "remember" there means to have confidence in another. You trust Him to meet the needs of your life. When my dad was an outside repairman, he often, with the phone company, he often had to go to Atlanta to climbing school. They would just go to a training center and they'd have telephone poles. Now I'm talking about the ones that were made out of pine trees, not the big metal ones that you see now. They didn't have steps to go up. They had to use spikes on the sides of their shoes and shin up those poles and come back down. Dad fell off backwards from one of those poles. You know, when he was in the Navy, World War II, he crashed 3 times. And then when he worked for the phone company, he fell backwards off one of those poles. He had a few backaches. I've seen him sleep on a hardwood floor before because he said that relieved his pain. But one thing he learned to do when he'd go up and come down those poles was to trust that big leather strap that went around the pole and attached to both sides of his utility belt. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to trust in our Lord without any reservations. Now notice we're better equipped to worship Him. Psalm 8 verse 1 says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. who have set your glory above the heavens. Psalm 48:10 says, according to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Psalm 5 verse 11 says, let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Psalm 34:3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Understanding the names will help us to understand how to praise and worship God. I always love to listen to this Hope, Cliff Duren, and Overflow. And Sunday morning after church, the last Sunday I was here back in 1942, I walked out here and one of the members of this Hope came up to me and he said, I want to thank you. He said, we go to churches across this nation and around the world, and it's becoming rare that we hear anybody preach the Word of God. He said, the pastors don't take biblical stands, but you do. We've been coming here off and on for 12 years. We never heard you preach. Thank you for your message today. And then the second thing he says, I recognize your Bible. And he told me the name of the publisher. And I said, yeah, that's a sheepskin Bible. I said, a member of this church 2 years ago gave me this. I said, these are made in Scotland. He said, hold on just a minute. And he walked over to the sales table. He said, I want to show you my Bible. He said, it's sheepskin. It's a smaller version. My dad's a pastor. And he gave me this Bible. And he said, I love it. I said, well, I've got the big print edition so I can see it. And he looked at me and said, my daddy gave me the 10 challenge. I said, well, what is the 10 challenge? He said, the 10 challenge is to read 10 chapters a day. He said, that just empowers me, gives me so much freedom and wisdom for every day. So I didn't tell him this. When I went on vacation, I decided I'd just take the 10 challenge. And I read the book of Romans. And then I read all Proverbs. And now I'm on to Psalm 119. And that's in just about 2.5 weeks. And over again, I read about the magnificence of God and His promises to us. Can't you imagine that God rejoices like an earthly father when He hears His children praise His name? Notice we realize God's presence and experience His navigation for our lives. Psalm 52:9 says, I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. I like Psalm 23. And in verse 3, the psalmist said, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. When we study the names of God, we have peace in God by getting acquainted with His name. Psalm 91 says God is speaking to one who knows His name. In Psalm 91:14, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. God's name is a place of protection. You can find rest there. We can, listen, we get to know Him better as we're acquainted with His names. Well, let's look at the first name that we're ever given concerning our precious God. And that first name is in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Hebrew name there is Elohim. God, listen to this. That name is plural. Y'all remember when you were in school, we had singular, and then we had plural. This name is plural. It stands for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Why did God reveal Himself the first time to us in the very first book in the Bible, in the very first verse? He wanted us to know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were involved in creation. Now, there's several facts you've got to accept to know God as Elohim. Number one is this: you are created by God. Why don't people listen and Google up the definition of the word theory, the theory of evolution. That's just an assumption somebody made based on false pretenses. Notice Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I believe life begins at conception. Before the sonogram can show you a picture, God is on the scene. Life has begun. In Genesis chapter 1, we find Elohim. That is a word, a declaration that God alone is eternal. God alone is eternal and is creator of all that exists, because only God was there in the beginning. No one and nothing else was there. Before there was anything, there was God. Now, God is there. There's no point in attempting to prove. Now listen to me carefully to what I'm saying here. There's no sense in trying to prove His existence, because God must be approached by faith and not reason. Now listen to me very carefully. A born-again believer chooses by faith, a person who's lost and he's asking Christ to save him, you choose by faith to accept the existence of God. Listen to me carefully. The atheist chooses by faith to deny God. But the atheist cannot disprove God by reason. Think about this. Somebody may choose to, they may challenge you to prove that God exists. Don't do it, because you can't do it. You'll be attempting to do something even the Bible does not attempt to do. Simply ask them to prove that God doesn't exist, and they can't. Have you ever noticed that? In that very first verse, God just gives us this. He says, I am. I am Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He doesn't go back and try to prove His existence. He just lets you know that I am. Well, neither the believer nor the atheist can prove or disprove God. Some of you sometimes will meet an agnostic. And an agnostic says, I don't know if God exists. Now, some agnostics say, I don't know if God exists, but I want to find out. Other agnostics say, I don't know whether God exists, and I don't care whether He exists or not. So, if they say, I don't care, you might as well just leave them alone and pray for them. So, God has given us plenty of evidence that He is real, and we must respond by faith, trusting what He has told us in His Word about Himself. And notice here, he says here in verse 13 and 14 of Psalm 139 that God formed us. God shaped us in our mother's womb. I love verse 15 where he says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. Think about this. God sculpted you and me from nothing into something and to somebody. Those of you who are grandparents and those of you who are parents don't have any problems believing in God, because of those precious bundles you've held and still hold in your arms. Psalm 139:16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. God watched you grow from conception to birth. We're an open book to Him. The days of our life were prepared before we live one day. God created us for something. And listen, your life counts because God created you in your mother's womb to make a difference. Have you ever thought about how much you really matter to God? Now, I'm not talking about being prideful, boastful, arrogant, getting the big head, thinking more of yourself than you ought to. How much do you matter to God? We matter so much to God that God wants you to keep you with Him throughout all eternity. that's beyond my human comprehension. What is God's purpose for you? Now, when we see this word Elohim, the way God chooses to introduce Himself. Now listen, this name for God, Elohim, is used in the Old Testament 2,570 times. It's used 30 times in the book of Genesis. Now it's intriguing. Like I said, this means there's only one God, but He's God Father, Son, Holy Spirit, plural. Why? Why does He introduce Himself like that to us? Number one, write this down, not in your outline. From the very beginning, God reveals to us the Trinity as an important part of His nature. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Got your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, Elohim, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule. And He talks about our dominion here on this earth. So God wants us to understand here in the very first verse of the Bible that He is God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. He's three in one. Second reason, God first revealed Himself as plural to say that we, as we study His name, His nature, and all the attributes of God wrapped up in Elohim, He contains every attribute. He is Elohim. Now that word El there means strong one, the strong one. And Eleia means to swear or make a covenant. So Elohim tells us that our one true God contains with Himself all the attributes of God. He's the mighty one who created heaven and earth as well as you and me. Now, God Elohim did not just create you and leave you. We were all created for a purpose. Listen to Isaiah 43:3. For I am the Lord your God. That's Elohim. And in verse 7 in Isaiah 43, it says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I made him. We were made for God's glory. And our primary purpose in this life is to accurately represent God to this world. Revelation 4:11. You're worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We were created to do God's will. His general will for your life is found in the Word of God. His specific will for your life is found only by getting to know Him and living out that personal relationship God desires to have with you. God created you for a purpose. When you walk in your house tonight, you'll notice that you have appliances there. I hope they're running. You have a refrigerator to keep things cold or frozen. You have a stove to make things hot. You have a microwave just to hurry up. And that's just kind of the way we live. And then praise God for dishwashers. I'm going to Google up who invented those. But we need, you know, we have dog day, cat day. We have coffee day in America. We need to have National Dishwasher Day. Automatic dishwasher day. Be careful with your stove. Delaney and I were on vacation. We were staying in a condominium. We never had this happen in 38 years. I was watching the news, and she plans our meals. You know, my mother-in-law told me a long time ago, you know what you're getting, because my daughter and I just alike. So you can look down the road before you say, I do. She had all of our menus. And so she says, Phil. And I thought, I'm watching the news. And I didn't say anything. You know, guys, it's better not to express. And she was frying fish for us that night. She had brought all the way from Rome, Georgia. And so she had poured about that much oil in the pan. When I turned around, there were 24-inch flames coming up out of the pan, going up into the hood there where the fan was. And then the wood cabinets. And so she didn't panic, but I said, throw the top on that thing. She said, I'm afraid it'll explode. And I looked, and she had thrown the dry towel, the dish towel, and it caught the towel on fire. And so So we stayed calm, and I thought, oh, my goodness, we're going to burn down the condominium here. And so the flames got higher and higher. I said, where's that fire extinguisher? She said, underneath the kitchen sink. So I reached down there and got it. She said, do you know how to work it? I said, I ain't got time to read the directions. So I pulled the pin and just started squeezing. And so the flames went out. And so I stopped, and all of a sudden, boom, they came back up. I said, get out of the way, darling. And so I hit it with that fire extinguisher and finally put it out. There's nothing like smoke from grease. And Delaine has asthma. So we had to open up the doors and go out in the parking lot. And the smoke just wouldn't get out. Ladies and gentlemen, I have never shot a fire extinguisher in my life. This was not the liquid kind. This was the baking soda. I understand the Wilbanks, Clay, and Sean, and what they do in cleaning up after disasters in a place. I think there's still baking soda somewhere in that condominium, but we cleaned for about 2 hours that night. Be careful. Ladies, don't multitask, or you're going to burn your house down, okay? But we got out of there with no damage, just a damage frying pan. But everything has a purpose there in your house. Don't you praise God for air conditioning? Isn't that a wonderful thing? One of our units is outside our bedroom window. I don't even mind hearing it turn on at night. It's just so wonderful. Every appliance has a purpose. I want you to know every person has a personalized purpose from God that we're to live out here on this earth. Now, let's look at how God may change your life. We've got to wrap this up. What does it mean that God is our Elohim? It means that we're created by God. I want you to write this down, not in your outline. We're created to be relational. In other words, we're to have a personal relationship with God, and we are to get along with our fellow man. You know, I love people. I like to talk to people. Delaine says I can talk to an oak tree, and I've talked to a lot of them. I got up one morning, and I wouldn't go to work this early unless it was an emergency, but I was teeing off one morning in the mountains at 7:30 a.m. with a guy from up north. I didn't know him. They just paired me up because they wouldn't let us go out and play by ourselves. I think he cussed worse than anybody I've ever seen in my whole life. And I kept looking him for an opening to witness to this guy, but it just wasn't there. And so when we finished playing golf, I was weary. And I don't think he ever noticed that I was not cussing. And, you know, he told me his whole life story and, you know, on and on. And so we got through. Delaine came by to pick me up. And I said, I want to introduce you to Chuck. He didn't have any respect for women much either. I mean, and when we got in the car, Delaine said, that is probably one of the most immature 52-year-old men I've ever met in my whole life. I said, Delaine, I've just spent 4 hours with this guy over here. But you know what? We've got to be able to be relational with people, build relationships before we can ever share Christ. And by the way we behave, sometimes that's the best sermon we ever preach. God wanted us to know that He wanted to be relational with us and we to Him. Second thing, He wanted us to be rational. God created us so that we can know intuitively this is right and know that you need God. And the other thing He created us to be is to be responsible. You surrender your life to Christ. And when we do that, then Elohim, the Creator, recreates us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then we have the privilege to live out the purpose God has for you and me. And then God begins to heal broken relationships and restore the shattered dreams of our life. He's Elohim. He's Almighty God. He's Creator who wants to be in a personal relationship with you. And by His names that we're going to study, God wants us to know Him and know what He can be to us. By His names, He makes Himself known and makes known what He can do for us. I love Christian music. I can't sing, but when I'm in my truck, I have some concerts that you would not believe. That song that we sang just a few minutes ago when we started our service is old, old, old. On Sunday nights, my dad would lead the music in the Methodist church where we grew up. I was also always so embarrassed for him to do that. But he actually had a great voice. And that was one of the songs he'd lead on those Sunday nights. You know a song that I really like? There's Something About That Name. Master, Savior, Jesus. There's just something about that name. God says, hello, my name is Elohim. I am Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I created you for fellowship with me now and throughout all eternity. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for these people who've come in from a busy, busy day to worship you, to lift up your praises, and to lift up these petitions for people that are hurting so much, that are in our fellowship and in our community and related to our fellowship. We pray for your healing hand to be on them. Help us to allow you to be magnified as your Holy Spirit appropriates the Christian life before other people. Thank you for all those on our campus tonight. As Eric gives his invitation tonight, pray that teenagers are going to be saved. Thank you we could disciple them. Thank you that we could disciple and lead to Christ these children in Awanus. Thank you for using us in this little place called Silver Creek. We love you, Lord. We thank you for sharing your names with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good night.